I want to revisit a story that we looked a little bit at in some detail last week. You will recall the NGEN refinery explosion. There was more than one explosion, and it raised very, very serious questions, by the way, some of which we never got an answer to. We tried to find out who in government was responsible for an evacuation plan. The city of Eteguini said, no, you must contact the provincial government. They're the ones. And the provincial government said, ah, you've come to the wrong place. Speak to the city of Eteguini. That in and of itself was not a terribly good sign. But there's someone who's been taking a closer look at the general problem of industrial risks. Yes, the oil refineries appear to have some particular difficulties in that regard for the communities that live around them. There's also issues of air quality control, but there's a broader problem as well. And Llewellyn Leonard is a professor of environmental science at UNISA. He's just published a piece that caught our eye, and we thought we'd invite him on the show. Professor Leonard, welcome, and thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, John, and thanks for inviting me.
Is there a general uncertainty as to who's responsible for example, evacuation plans and community safety when things go wrong? I just relayed in a nutshell our experience in regard to the NGEN refinery in Durban. Is there a lot of grey in that area in our country?
John, yes, definitely. I hear you talk about the emergency response plan, and you know, civil society and local communities have called for this for a long time since democracy, and really there's been no plan on the table. So I think if one looks at what government has done, really there's been no real initiative on this. And we know that South Durban has a history of environmental risk and pollution. And the local South Durban community, as we know, have recorded 55 major incidents between 2000 and 2016. And even the provincial government's environmental outlook report, has noted in 2018 that it had the South Durban Basin as a pollution hotspot. So really, there's been no action from government. There was some initial action, I think, one looks at the multi-point plan, but that actually fell away in 2010. So the current local government administrators have and leaderships have not taken this forward. So I think that's the major issue, and a lack of transparency and engagement with the local community. So generally, John, there's been poor governance.
And Professor Leonard, you take a wide definition of hazard. Obviously, an explosion is a moment in time thing, although it would have a long timeline leading to that particular incident. But you also look at, I suppose, the stuff that is dangerous in the very nature of that industry operating. Give us your thoughts on that. How far behind are we in protecting the rights of communities who may not be literally across the road from an industrial plant, but might be close enough to, for example, be affected by air pollution or things happening to their water?
Yeah, I think that's a very important question, John. You know, firstly, we know that, these particular industries should not be located next to residential areas. The risk of air pollution and industrial accidents cannot be ignored. And especially, when these industries are not well regulated. The global disasters speak volumes, whether it's the 1979 Three Mile Island accident in Pennsylvania, or even the Shell oil refinery explosion in 1998, where 2,800 residents were actually had to be evacuated. And I'm coming closer to home. We have incidents like this in South Durban. If one really looks at the industrialization and modern risks, which are typically the result of these technological undertakings, And the risks, as we know, are not fully understood and due to governance. So the perpetrators of risks are involved in the cause, the diagnosis, and oftentimes they have to rectify these problems as well. So I think that is a major flaw in that the concerns of the communities are not taken into consideration. So it's more or less an issue of self-monitoring and it
right.
really doesn't work.
And just finally, we've spoken, I just gave the example of Durban, KZN province, the disjunct between them, one saying it's them, the other saying no, it's them. At a national level, is it clear which departments should be looking at it? Because I could imagine water affairs is involved, minerals and energy resources, or energy and minerals resources could be another play, trade and industry. It, on one level, you could say it's great that everyone's on the case, but the problem might be that nobody is.
Yes, John. I think the major issue is the segmentation in different spheres of government and really not able to then address the problem. I mean, one starts at the local level. As I mentioned, there's been lack of engagement from the side of local government in terms of, you know, engaging with communities and actually being the player and creating the platforms to bring the residents and communities, the industries together. So clearly, government needs to, you know, monitor and enforce the laws and also make sure that no further industrial expansion takes place. So clearly, it's a government issue of fragmentation and
right.
There needs to be better coordination between the spheres.
Thank you very much. Very interesting article by Professor Llewellyn Leonard. He's Professor of Environmental Science at UNISA. I'll put up the link on, you can follow me on Twitter, at John Perlman. Have a look at what he's doing. He's coming up with some answers, but also raising some really important questions, and I'm sure we'll return to them in days and weeks to come. 4:17. This is Afternoon Drive on 702.